Here we are in Baku, Azerbaijan, on day 5 of COP29. And as you know, I decided it was important to be here in person to find out what really goes on at these things, to see what on earth 50,000 people had come here for. And incidentally, I do actually fact check things. I was wondering to myself, are there really 50,000 people? Well, yes, evidently there are. And of course, in one sense, the answer is obvious. They are here to fix the so-called climate crisis. And as you see, we have slogans like this one about keep 1.5 degrees Celsius within reach, which in the first place assumes that in principle that's possible to do, and in the second place that the people here have some idea how that's going to happen. So of course, we've gone to some of the formal sessions and we've heard some pretty loud rhetoric about the urgency of the crisis, and another of the slogans here, it's time to act, which again presumes that they do know what to do. But some of those loudest people have been rather thin on the practical question. And then, again, we've talked to some of the activists and the idealists who are part of the outer circle here, and many of them are very lovely people.
I think the weather's getting worse. You know, we're seeing loss of livelihood and damage, but we're also seeing escalating conflicts that are due to issues from the climate crisis, and that's causing a huge host of other issues and also leading to further gender inequality in all of these areas.
Okay, and then so the other tough one, assuming that you've got people's attention and you've got them focused on the right kind of things, what are you hoping they will do here this year so that if we gather next year, as I think we're going to, we'll be able to say, here's what we accomplished, as opposed to, hey guys, here's what you promised.
So for WILF, we would like countries to commit to redirecting military spending towards climate action. There's some things that are calling for 2% of military spending to go towards climate action instead. And if all countries did that for 5 years, it would lead to, I think, over 70 trillion or something like that. I'm not sure on the facts. Of spending towards the climate crisis instead. I think we also need to see a formal agreement on the extended Lima work program, which is the gender program here at COP as well, and some action on that by Friday would be really, really appreciated so that we can focus on the gap next year in Brazil.
But when you try to get down to the nuts and bolts, when you ask them what exactly do we do, they're often charmingly vague. It's your 10th COP, yeah. This would be. Are we making progress? What's going to make this one deliver when the others seem to have rather had more promises than a sack of goodies?
Right. It's a good question. And it's not the first person to ask me this question. Because I've been at so many COPs and I'm so active in the, for instance, the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals. You're familiar with the SDGs?
Yeah.
And you're familiar with the fact the SDGs have over time been basically captured by the corporate interests and the WEF and all this stuff. So all the work that we've put into the SDGs, not knowing what the SDGs as they're presented, the 17 goals exactly, but the idea that we have to operate, you know, we have to look after our earth, we have to look after people on the earth and so on, health and welfare and education and so on, we have to do that. And at least that's a plan. But it appears that the powers that be have pretty much put it on the back burner. In fact, they've almost abandoned it. Not until just recently. You hardly hear it mentioned anymore. And one of the challenges is that the powers that be, they are, well, Guterres said last year, around this time last year, he said, we're failed. We failed on the SDGs. Now, he's taking personal responsibility for it, but it's not actually his responsibility. He's the Secretary General of the UN, which is a secretariat of what? Of the countries. It's the countries who haven't come through. They're all fighting with each other. They're all grabbing, you know, this wants money, this one doesn't want to give money. You know, it's all this money stuff. They're not thinking about what about the children, really? This character, Sustainer Clause, is a Santa Claus related character, not the Coca-Cola Santa Claus, not the guy with the, yeah, not that. It's
you seem to have been on the treadmill, yes.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, we went up Everest with banners of the SDGs to do what? A stunt? Yeah, it's a bit of a stunt, but is there a purpose behind it? Yes, it's a purpose. It's saying the world has needs, and the needs are not being met by its leadership. It's not being met by you know, the corporations, it's not being met by the governments, it's not being met. And we have to bring things back to the people.
And again, it's quite sweet, but at the same time, if you really think we've got 10 years to save the planet, then we better get going. And then you go to some of the panels, and again, some of it's just wind, but in others of them, you're hearing people who are talking about real, creative, practical things they can do.
So then once you have this like drive and this reason, this ambition, why people want to reduce emissions, why they want to mortgage their houses and start a clean tech company that's focused on reducing emissions in the sector, then you gotta walk them through the system. So often they need funding, and we're kind of sitting here on stage with a number of great funders that have helped a bunch of the clean tech companies that we work with right now. So that's kind of a start. You got to design the technology. You have to get to that point. And then you have to start working on testing. So testing is one of the places where Tourmaline has a large participation. So as John mentioned, we run the Natural Gas Innovation Fund Emissions Testing Center, which has been a really great system for us. We've moved over 75 companies through that Emissions Testing Center at our site. But sometimes you need more than just the field site. You need the lab space as well. So the University of Calgary has partnered with us in order to have some space at the University of Calgary where we do some of that early testing. So now these clean tech companies come through, they can test at the lab, they can test at Tourmaline, and they can prove that their technologies have the ability to, let's say, have a detection at a certain threshold and a probability of detection. And then they can use that to prove to regulators that their technology works and it's a solution that can be used out in the industry. But they can also use it to go sell to other operators and have that solution as a real solution. So then the next step is you need those companies to scale and grow. And
from COP28, we are now 45 utilities and ecosystem partners in the alliance working together. During this year, Alliance set ambitious targets, as you said. We made three targets operational, one on tripling. So utilities now have a commitment, and actually it's based on the pipeline of the actual projects they're going to implement, going 2.6 gigs by 2030. So you see, it's not almost tripling, but it's there.
But it seems like it's going to take a long time. They're creating frameworks to enable collaboration so that they can collect data, so that they can bring people together to articulate aspirations. And even if that works, you know, pretty obviously it's going to take 15 or 20 years. And occasionally you do hear people start saying, well, you know, it's time to start a real discussion. No, it's not. This is COP29. It was time to start a real discussion at COP3 or COP7. Or COP12 or something along those lines. And so one of the things that has emerged here is that though many of the people here do mean well, and really I do want to insist once again, people who think climate alarmism is a hoax, you talk to these folks, nobody here is faking it. I'm not saying there may not be a few people in various places who aren't being completely straightforward, but I'm telling you, most of these 50,000, what you see is what you get. But what you see isn't just belief in this, it's also a lack of concrete, workable plans for taking dramatic action in the short run. And in fact, we're standing here with these slogans. There's another plaque here on the wall, and it says, do not lean. Surface may bend, flex, or shift under pressure. And you know what? That's not just a metaphor for this quickly constructed convention center, which I suspect will vanish as soon as COP29 is over, along with a lot of the promises. But it's something of a metaphor for the whole process. It sure looks good, but if you lean on it in any way, including asking people, okay, what exactly do we do that's going to deliver dramatic results in the short run? Well, it may bend, flex, or flat out break under pressure. So while I admire the idealism, I got to tell you, I'm not so sold on the practicality. That's my impression here on day 5, John Robson for the Climate Discussion Nexus, on location in Baku, Azerbaijan, for COP29.